o'clock, and this is in First Chronicles, still, Monday afternoon. I explain the beauty of holiness. That means to be pure in our hearts and lives. God considers that to be a beautiful picture. If our lives are filled with sin and impurity and iniquity and terrible, terrible tragedy, that's not beautiful for God. That is ugly. He considers sin in us as ugly. That's what God the Father thought when the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, was carrying all the sins and the iniquities of the whole world at the cross of Calvary. It was an ugly picture. The Lord Jesus Himself was perfectly righteous. But He carried in His body the sins of us all. So, how does one become holy? First, we must be saved to be holy. Second, we must walk not after the flesh that we have, but after God's Holy Spirit. We must walk in obedience to His words. He alone can make us holy. Every one of us has two natures. The old flesh and the Holy Spirit of God that indwells us, if we're saved. And these two things fight among us and inside of us. There's war. And Galatians chapter 5 gives the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And none of the works of the flesh are holy. They are unholy. And when we walk after the flesh, we do not have the beauty of holiness. Walking after the Holy Spirit of God gives us a holiness. Not in ourselves, but because God is holy and He's leading us and guiding us. Other questions or comments you may have? Yes, ma'am.
This is the explanation of confidence. In verse 15, it says, be mindful always of His covenant, the word which He commanded to that a thousand generations. And verse 15 says, even of the covenant which He made with Abraham and of the oath unto Isaac. Now, I thought, if you look at verse 15, 16 together, I thought the means His covenant meant the covenant He made with Abraham and of His oath unto Isaac. I thought that means. But you gave the impression the covenant means His word, of the whole Bible. So could you clarify it?
Chinese.
我第一，你是在第十六章第十五节，第十六章十五节，十六节，因为在第十六章十五节，他说你们要纪念他的约，我的问题是他的约是指什么？因为他十五章，那十六章十五节说你们要纪念他的约，直到永远，这完是你们要纪念他的约，直到永远，他所吩咐的话，直到千代。 然后是那节说就是以亚伯拉罕所立的约，像以撒所起的誓，所以我以为他们立他的约是指那以亚伯拉罕所立的约，可是老师讲话好像是说他的约是指整本圣经，所以我让他这么讲，请你再解释一下。That
is true, verses 15 and verse 16 go together. Rather, yes, verse 15 and 16 go together. But notice in verse 16 what the covenant is. The covenant he made to Abraham was, in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That seed was the Lord Jesus Christ, as it says in the book of Galatians, and that seed was Christ. This covenant was made in the book of Exodus, actually in the book of Genesis, the first book of our Bible. And the Lord Jesus and his seed is woven throughout the entire scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. And if the promise of the covenant is wiped out in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, no one would even know the covenant that was there unless his words would be preserved. And he says in verse 15, his covenant and the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. His covenant is to be preserved and his word to be preserved. I think both. Another question or comment, you know, huh? Yes, ma'am.
That was actually a question related to what you just said, and a question you mentioned that in the room, because you said his words were preserved, and you said something like the Greek Hebrew, Greek and Aramaic words through this. So no, I don't remember exactly the words you said, but I got the impression, because these languages are preserved, that's the reason we can understand the Bible. Am I right? Is my understanding correct?
Because the Chinese is here to read. It's not clear in English, maybe you read it clear in Chinese.
I'll repeat in Chinese.
Yeah, yeah.
我刚才问他，因为我记得他早晨的时候，他吃饭前的时候，他说他给我印象，所以我没有听楚。我好像说什么话保留，他说这个原因是因为人的印象他是这样讲，是因为希伯来文，希伯来文、亚兰文跟这个希腊文这个语言保留下来，就是存留下来，这个语言被人。 一直保留下来，所以什么话保留下来？所以我问他，这是他，这是他的第一次。可是我想他并没有很清楚地讲的。 So I'm saying the words, I get impression you're saying the words, the Bible are preserved. One of the reasons because the language itself, the Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic language are preserved. Is that what you meant?
Yes, that's what I meant. Okay. Because God's promise to preserve His words that He gave. He did not get any words in English. He did not get any words in Chinese, or Spanish, or French, or Russian, or Italian. He only gave his words in Hebrew, a little Aramaic, and Greek. And those are the words he has promised to preserve throughout eternity, throughout the
century.
And from those words, Hebrew and Greek words that God gave, they must translate into all the languages of the world from those words. And that's the problem I have with the Chinese Bible. They have the wrong Greek New Testament on which the Chinese Bible is based. It was not translated from a proper Greek text. It was translated from a Greek text that has 8,000 differences from the Greek text that analyzed the King James Bible. Not only those 8,000 differences are large, some are small. but at least 356 doctrinal passages where the Greek text underlying your Bible and many other Bibles is a wrong Greek text.
有三百多的这些教育性的书。
So that's why my concern to have a good, solid, accurate Chinese Bible, Spanish Bible, French, all languages of the world.
负担就是说愿意也说有这样的从那个原来的那个希腊文跟那个text来翻成我们的圣经。
Based on the proper Hebrew, proper Greek, proper Aramaic.
正确的希伯来文、亚兰文跟那个希腊文。
Proper translators and proper translation technique.
有用正确的翻译的方法。
And proper theology.
正确的神学。
Other questions or comments? All right. We're on page 21 still. We're way ahead of ourselves, so we're all right, time-wise and our schedule-wise. So we don't mind if I talk a little bit longer and do some of these things, preach a little bit here and there. All right, the Lord reigneth in verse 31. Then in verse 34, again David repeats, and I guess maybe when we covered that, we said, give thanks to his mercy and death forever. Ever thought of what mercy is?
有没有想说
The two men went up to the temple to pray, the Pharisee and the publican.
就是那个税吏跟那个法利赛人的祷告。
Pharisee said, I'm glad I'm not like other men, like this publican sinner here.
那个法利赛人说感谢主我们要像那个税吏。
I fast, I pray, I tithe, I'm good.
我是一个好人，我是也献祭完也十分之一的奉献。A publican sinner did not raise his hand or his head.
What are these words? God be merciful to me, a sinner. And the scripture says, that man that out of the street justified rather than the other. God is merciful. The two words in our language, mercy and grace. They're contrasting words. They're in a sense opposite words. Dr. Almighty Hahn, teacher of the radio Bible class, gave these definitions of those two words. He said grace is getting something you don't deserve. That's heaven. That's forgiveness. Mercy is not getting something that you do deserve. That's the lake of fire, that's hell. So God, in His mercy, endures. There's not a man, woman, or child living on this earth, or ever did live on this earth, that deserves heaven. All of us deserve the lake of fire and hell and judgment because of our sins. It's only God's mercy and sending His Son that can give us redemption. And not getting something that we do deserve. His mercy endures forever. Then in verse number 35, David says, save us, O God, of our salvation.
Verse
If there's anyone that can do that, it's the Lord. He's the only one that can save us as a nation and Israel as a people. And he says, gather us together. David was the king of the whole nation, but there were divisions there. Then he prayed to deliver us from a heathen. And that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. And then he says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. Then when he finished singing the psalm, the people said amen and amen. And they praised the Lord. So in verse 37, he finally left there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. He left Asaph and his ministry of the ark continued every day.
37节，他要靠亚萨和他的弟兄在约柜前常常侍奉耶和华，一日进一日的职分。
So is it at Obed-Edom's house? It was at Obed-Edom's house that he left the ark. And next page, verse 22 and verse 40, was about the burnt offerings upon the altar, the altar continually. And notice verse 41 in chapter 16, to give thanks to the Lord because his mercy endureth forever. All the people give thanks unto the Lord. In chapter 17 now, we see David's desire to build a temple to the Lord. Notice he went and sat in his house, and David said to Nathan the prophet something. David was a king, but he wanted to have fellowship and ask sometimes of this prophet of the Lord. He says, well, I dwell in the house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. This is a tabernacle of tent. And verse 3, Nathan said to David, do all that is in thy heart, for God is with thee. God hadn't told Nathan that David was not to build that temple. So that night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan the prophet. And verse 4 said, go and tell David my servant, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in. Apparently David accepted that, he didn't build it. He was able to prepare it, but not to build it. In verse 5, he says, I have not dwelt on a house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent, from tabernacle one to another.
第五节，自从我领以色列人出埃及，直到今日，我未曾住过殿里来，从这会幕到那会幕，从这帐幕到那帐幕。And
then the Lord asked David a question.
然后上帝问大卫一个问题。Whensoever
I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel.
Verse 6.
凡我从以色列所走的地方，我何曾向以色列的一个士师，就是我吩咐牧养我民的，说：你何不给我建造香柏木的殿宇呢？
When I commanded to feed my people, saying, Why have you not built me a house of cedars? In other words, God never asked anybody to build him a house of cedars, a big temple. I think sometimes the building of large, large churches and buildings have become strange later on in years. Many of the churches that were founded solidly on the Bible are no longer on the Bible at all. When the buildings are large and beautiful, and the people die off that built them up, most often the devil's family comes in and takes over the whole building. So the very building that the Christians built up, the devil now is possessed. In our country, you see that on the mainline denominations. Most of the United Methodist churches were built by godly people. Many of them have been taken over by the devil's crowd, unbelievers, crowd just against the Lord Jesus Christ. Similar for the Lutheran churches in our country. So many of the Presbyterian churches, the same. Buildings, not only in this country, but in Europe as well, in England, in France, in Germany. Huge buildings used to be built by God's people and now used by Satan's people. Makes you wonder whether it's God's will to build big buildings and churches and so on. You say it never could happen to us. The same as with big buildings of colleges and seminaries and universities. Huge buildings. Dormitories. The colleges and universities that once were sound and sane to the Bible. Now inhabited by antichrists and the devil's people in those buildings. It's sad to me. I don't think the devil would be interested in a tent, do you? Can you build a tent for the Lord? Would the devil like to come and take over your tent? Would he be satisfied with your tent? Would his people be satisfied with your tent? He wants things that are plush and fine and decent that Christians have built to take over. So there's a problem many times with buildings. I don't know how long your building, your church, beautiful building, how many years would be strong and standing for the Lord Jesus Christ? We don't know. We hope. It will be strong for many, many years, but how will it be, or will it be, and when will it be like the rest of the buildings that have been built? So there could be a real problem with buildings. The Lord asked David, when did I ever tell you, I want you to build me a building? It was not in the directive, it was the permissive will of God. He let him build a building. Solomon built the building, the temple.
不是上帝自己有这样的旨意，是上帝允许他。
Something to think about, is it not?
这个是我们可以去思想的。
In verse number 8, God said, I have been with thee, whithersoever thou hast walked. Can God say that of you? Can God say that of me? Where have we walked? Have we walked where God wants us to walk? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly. We must be careful where we walk. But God said, I have been with thee, David, whithersoever thou hast walked. I have cut off all thine enemies from before thee. What a wonderful thing. Cut off our enemies from us. Maybe a name, like the name of a great man, here on the earth. He promised to David in verse 10. Moreover, I will subdue all our enemies. And then by what days were expired, in verse 11, I will raise up thy seed after thee. Which will be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. And verse 12, he shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever.
12节说, 他必为我建造殿宇,
so Solomon was to build that temple, not David, but Solomon, his son. He had many sons, 15 plus many others, David did in verse 11. And some of them were very wicked sons. God and Elijah wanted to take over the kingdom. He was a wicked son. Other sons were bad, but he's going to establish David and his sons. Verse 16, David the king came and sat before the Lord. That's a good place to sit. To recognize the presence of the Lord, just sit there. Not stand, but comfortably sit. Not walk around, not move, just sit. Before the Lord and ask His guidance and blessings upon Him. And then David opened his mouth. In verse 16. And ask, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house? That thou hast brought me hitherto. This indicates David's humility of heart and life. And we should be just as humble. What are we that thou hast brought us to this state? In verse 20, David acknowledged something else about the Lord. The Lord, there's none like thee. Neither is there any God beside thee. That's a dogmatic statement. No other God, not Allah, not Shinto, not Confucius, no other God. The Lord Jesus was just as dogmatic in John 14, verse 6.
主耶稣在约翰福音十四章第六节也是很确定的这样说。
He said, I am the way.
我就是道路，真理，生命。
And the truth.
真理。
And the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
没有人可以到上帝那边去。
Nor the Savior but Christ.
没有其他的救主，只有基督。
Nor the God beside thee.
没有一个神。
A lot of people don't like the Lord Jesus dogmatism. They don't like the fact that he said, I'm the only way to heaven. The Jews have not found it. The Muslims have not found it. The Confucianists have not found it.
The Shintoists
have not found it. The Buddhists, the Taoists have not found it. You have many of these religions in China, do you not? Only through Christ can you be saved. Nor the Savior but Him. President Bush, the father of Christ, the president, said there are many ways to God.President Bush was wrong, theologically wrong. President Obama said many ways to God. President Obama is wrong, theologically wrong. And anyone else who says in many ways is wrong, our Bible must prevail. Nor the God, but the...
除了你以外再无神。
All right, what verse are we on?
20.
20, thank you. I've got to keep my finger in my place before I lose it. Talking out loud this way. Doing the presidential things, I probably should stay out of it. I don't stay out of it usually. Notice verse 21. What one nation the earth is like that people in Israel. Now, God is not through with Israel even today. God gave and promised Israel a great land. By the way, the mic is a little bit too high, just a shade down. Everything must have just a shade down, just a tiny bit back, a little bit of feedback, and then just a tiny bit. That's fine, I've got spread. Well, the nation of Israel, we're not finished, God's not finished with that Israel. When they first set up Israel with Balfour Declaration of 1950 or thereabouts, they gave the land, much of the land, to Israel. And since that declaration, the United Nations and others have dwindled and dwindled and dwindled and dwindled to Israel down in the nation. Very little left. Our President Bush is all right, just to take a little bit of this, take a little bit back from that commission. It's all right with him. President Obama, who's been brought up a Muslim, take a little bit more, that's fine with President Obama, no problem. But God is not through with Israel. God gave that land to Israel, his people. And there's no people, no nation on the earth like that people Israel. He's not finished with Israel. Now they're back in their land in unbelief. It's true. They're not believers, they're our Savior. One day they will see the Messiah and own him as their Savior and Redeemer. And in verse 23, Lord, let the thing that thou hast spoken. Concerning thy servant and concerning his house be established forever And do as thou hast said. That my, that thy name may be magnified forever.
Verse 24.
So David is in accord with the Lord, that that was what he planned and what he should do. In chapter 18, David is battling again with the Philistines. He smote the Philistines in verse 1.
18章开始呢，就是他到又来攻打第一次了。In
verse 2, he smote Moab.
然后他攻打摩押。Verse
3, the king of Zobah.
然后第三节更是法老王。
David took 1,000 chariots from Zobah. Verse 4, took 7,000 horsemen. And 20,000 footmen. And David also huffed the chariot horses. So there's an expression, huffed the horses. Cut off the muscle of their foot so that they could not walk properly. So the horses were useless in battle. And so we wouldn't want to tell the SPCA about that, would we? We wouldn't want to tell the SPCA about huffing horses.
SPCA.
Society for Protection of Animals.
Cruelty to animals.
Don't tell the SPCA what David did. Of cruelty to animals, that's right. And then in verse number 5, the Syrians, 20,000 men, we sue them also. You see why he was a bloody man, like did God did not want David to build his temple? One of verse number 6, a great statement about David, about the Lord. That's the Lord preserved David, whithersoever he went. May he preserve you and preserve me, wherever we may go. He did to David. Praise the Lord for that. On page 24, verse 13, he also took the Edomites and made them the servants. And verse 13, it repeats, thus the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. It repeats that. So in verse 14, David reigned over all Israel. And notice in verse 15, Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was over the host, over the soldiers. And Zeruiah was the aunt of David. So they were related. And notice in verse 16, Zadok and Abijah, Abimelech, the son of Abiathar, were the priests. And Shadasha was the scribe in verse 18. And the scribe was to write down the words of God and make sure that the books were accurate. And then in verse 17, Benaiah was over the Cherethites and Pelethites and the singers. They were the singers. And then chapter 19, we see that David said, I will show kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash. Hanun was a neighbor of David's. And he wanted to do him good, if possible. And so they were sent messengers of verse 2 to comfort him concerning his father. And so to went to comfort him, and the scribes of the children of Ammon said to Hanan, the princes rather said to Hanan, they didn't believe they were up to any good but up to bad. He says, are not his servants come unto thee for to search and to overthrow and to spy out the land? Therefore Hanan took David's servants, shaved them, cut off their garments in the midst by the buttocks, and sent them away. Did not treat them properly because they thought they were spies and no good. And verse 5, the men were greatly ashamed. So David said, tarry at Jericho till your beards be grown and then return. To the Jews, a beard was something that they used as something that was good for them. And so the children of Ammon saw that they were made themselves odious to David. Hanan realized he made a mistake, and so he sent the children of Ammon 1,000 talents of silver to hire them chariots. So they hired 32,000 chariots in verse 7. And when David heard of it, verse 8, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. So there's a battle in verse number 10. And so it was against Joab before and behind. And Abishai, his brother, in verse 11, was also a battle in this fight. They set themselves in a way against Ammon. That was a nation close by. And Joab said, if the Syrians are too strong for me, then thou shalt come and help me. But if the children of Ammon are too strong for thee, then I will help thee. Be of good courage, let's behave ourselves valiantly for our people. And let the Lord do that which is good in his sight. So the battle went the proper way with Joab in verse 14 and with Abishai in verse 15. In verse 18, the Syrians fled before Israel, and David slew the Syrians 7,000 men, which fought.
Seven thousand men
of the chariots and 40,000 footmen, and killed the captain of the host. And so the charter of made the rest, they made peace eventually with David, these other nations, became his servants. And in chapter 20, we see David war again with the Philistines. In verse 4, there's war at Gezer with the Philistines. And there was war again with the Philistines, and Elhanan, the son of Jair, slew Libni, the brother of Goliath. Forget that.
路的儿子伊勒哈兰杀了加勒人哥利亚的弟兄哈拉哈里。
Goliath is all the giants of Gath. And there were many. There's a man of great stature whose fingers and toes were 4 and 20, 26 on each hand. 4 and 20, 6 on each hand, and 6 on each foot. So instead of 5 and 5 fingers, 6 and 6. Instead of 5 and 5 toes, 6 and 6.
So,
12 up here, 12 down there. Strange giants they were. And they defied Israel in verse number 7. This man of stature. And David's brother, Shua. So these were born of the giant of Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Now chapter 21, we see Satan is at hand again. We'll stop here and we'll have take 10. We'll see you after that. Okay.
From chapter 17, verse 12.
Yes, 17, verse 12.
He shall build me a house. The he means David, Solomon, or who?
Okay, that's the question.
Yeah.
We always said a name in Chinese, yeah? Okay. Yes, it seems like because of verse 11, it says, "Thy seed after thee, be thy son, shall establish a he." There is one of the sons that he selects, probably referring to Solomon.
Solomon.
Yeah.
Jesus
Christ. Well, could be a building house, started in a sense a spiritual house of Christian people.
Possibly.
But I think especially we're talking about the temple, physical house, but certainly the Lord Jesus Christ is building people that have been saved and Christians. Could be part of that, generally.
Another question.
Yes.
Chapter 20.
Verse 6.
Okay. Any
question?
Yes.
The same giants in Moses, though, I think, were different than the giants here. These were, was it word in Hebrew is Nephilim, which is Nephilim means to fall, fallen ones. So the same word is used in English, giant, but the fallen ones twist a little bit different types of people, see. And I don't know why giants were grown like Goliath and all, but apparently there was some twist in their makeup that they were created and made. I don't know. There's even some giants today, you know, big. Top of you don't know how they were there, but they might not share the same as in Genesis 6, which are fallen ones, special twist. Other questions or comments? We're over here now on what page were we on? Let's see, turn back to page 25, okay. 25, all right. Page 25, all right. Chapter 21. David is moved to number the children of Israel. Notice in verse 1, who was that stood up against Israel? His name was Satan. Provoked David to number Israel. That is, he pushed and pushed and pushed and provoked David to do something that God did not want him to do. Apparently that was the thing that kings did. They numbered the armies, how many people did they have? And Satan knew that if he would get David to number his people, he would not be trusting in the Lord to deliver him to his armies. I believe that's why David did wrong in this and numbered Israel. So at Satan's provocation, verse 2, David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go number Israel. From Beersheba to Dan, north and south, the whole land. From the number of them to me. That I may know it. He wanted to see how secure he was from the Philistines and all the other enemies. And so, in verse number 3, Joab made answer. Now, the question at the end of verse 3 is, why then doth my Lord require this thing? Why will he cause me to cause a trespass to Israel? In other words, there's a lot of people, you have all sorts of people, hundreds of people in the army. So Joab, the cousin of David, rather I guess the nephew of David, he didn't win out. The king's word in verse 4 prevailed against Joab. So he went out and numbered Israel and came to Jerusalem to give David the numbers. And all that of Israel, the hundred thousand men. That would be 1,100,000 total altogether, if my mathematics is correct. 1,000,000 is 1,000,000, and 100 more would be 1,100,000. That's from Israel, the northern kingdoms. Yes, northern kingdom, Israel. 10 tribes in the north. And those in Judah, there's 110,000, that would be 410,000. And so 103 score would be 160 plus a bit. See, no, 400, that's right, 410,000 in Judah. So Judah was much smaller than the 10,000 in the north of Israel. And God was displeased in verse 7. That's an important thing. Now notice in verse 6, Levi and Benjamin, he did not count among the people. The king's word was abominable to Joab. He didn't even bother counting those two. Now God was displeased in verse 7. So he smote Israel. Here's God's judgment again, just like he smote Ezra for touching the ark. So on page 26, there, chapter 21, verse 8, David said, I've sinned greatly.
David
At least David recognized his guilt and his sin. Many times people who sin do not recognize that sin, they just go right on. I've not done anything wrong. But David said, I have sinned, not just sinned, but greatly. Then David prayed to the Lord in verse 8. He said, do away with the iniquity of thy servant, for I have not done very foolishly, very foolishly. Well, the Lord's going to deal with the iniquity, but he's going to punish David and Israel first. Now, in verse number 9, the Lord spoke to God, David's seer, or David's prophet. In verse 10, he was offered three things, three types of judgments, and David was to choose one of the three. And verse 11, God came to David and said to him, thus saith the Lord, choose thee one of these three. Which would you have chosen if you were David? Three years of famine.
3 years of饥荒.
3 months delivered before your foes and your enemies.
三个月败在你敌人面前被敌人的刀追杀.
3 days the sword of the Lord with pestilence in the land.
或者是三天在你的国中有瘟疫.
And the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coasts of Israel. So we have three years, 3 months, 3 days. And the famine will be great for 3 years, or the pestilence for 3 months before our enemies. Or the 3 days in the hands of the Lord to determine how he will punish. Verse 13, David didn't waste much time in reply. But he said, I'm in a great state. I'm in a tight place, a great state. Tight place, narrow place. Hard for me to decide what to do. So he said, let me fall in the hand of the Lord. For very great are his mercies. Let me not fall in the hand of man. He knew the Lord, he knew he was merciful, and so you need to up the Lord to take care of this. So verse 14, the Lord immediately answered, and whatever he requested, sent a pestilence.
So 70,000
dead immediately. And verse 15, he also sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. But as he was destroying it, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil. That word repent means to change his mind. It's not the repentance that like people talk about repenting of sin, that's not the word, it's change of mind. And he knows, he changed his mind, he repented of the evil because he beheld. He saw what was happening. He saw 70,000 innocent people dead because of David's sin. And so he changed his mind, repented of that evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, it is enough. Stay with thy hand.
助手吧。
Hands of the Lord serve with a threshing floor of one. In other words, stop. Don't kill anymore. And that angel of demigod, I'm sure, too. Stop. And in verse number 16, David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing there. Notice he was standing between the earth and heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand. His hand stretched out over Jerusalem. And David and the elders of Israel who were killed in sackcloth fell upon their faces. They prayed, they repented of their evil, they asked the Lord to change. They fell on their faces in humility. And notice verse 70, David said unto God, is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I, it is that have sinned, that have done this evil indeed. But as for these sheep, these people, what have they done? Let them have that prayer, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house. But not on thy people that they should be plagued. So God already told the angel of the Lord to stay his hand, and now David is praying, Lord, please stay thy hand. In verse 18, the angel of the Lord had a message for God, the prophet. He commanded God to say certain things to David, the king. He said, set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing place of Ornan, the Jebusite. He went up at the saying of God and obeyed. Part of this threshing wheat in verse 20. Verse 21, Ornan bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. David was the king. And David said to Ornan, please grant me the place of this threshing floor that I may build an altar to the Lord. Quite it to me at the full price that whatever the reply would be, to Craig, may be stayed. And Ornan said, that's fine, do what you want to do. I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings and the threshing instruments for wood, the wheat for the meat offering. He gave them everything they needed for this offering, the fruit of the Lord. The Ornan said, I will give it. David said, no, I'm going to buy it for full price. I will not take of that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. So on verse 25, David bought it for 600 shekels of gold by weight. So David built the altar and offered the burnt sacrifice and called upon the Lord, and it answered from heaven by fire.
26节，大卫在那里为耶和华筑了座坛，求告耶和华，耶和华应允他，从火从天降在山祭台上。
The Lord commanded the angel, and he put up the sword again in the sheath.
26节，耶和华吩咐使者，他就收到入鞘。And
so David in verse 30 could not go before to do it to inquire of the Lord, who was afraid because of the word of the angel of the Lord.
只是大卫不敢前去求问神，因为他惧怕耶和华使者的刀。
So in chapter 22, David purposed to prepare the temple, rather prepare at least, he couldn't build it, but rather prepare for it. And in verse number 2, he said nations to hew wrought stones to build the house of the Lord, so that was the first step. And then in verse 3, he prepared that many nails for the doors and gates, brass, abundance.
第三节，大卫预备许多铁做门上的钉子和钩子。
And see you there in abundance also.
第四节，无数的香柏木。
And he said in verse 5, Solomon my son is young and tender.
第五节说，我儿子所罗门还年幼娇嫩。
The house must be exceeding magnificent. That was a very beautiful, magnificent temple.
耶和华的殿宇必须高大辉煌。
So in the end of verse 5, David prepared abundantly before his death. And then he called his son Solomon. Charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. He said, it was in my mind to start with Rome and to build a house myself, but the Lord forbade that. And he named the son in verse 9. The son shall be born to thee, his name shall be Solomon.
第九节中间说，你要生一个儿子，他的名要叫所罗门。
And I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days.
他在位的日子，我必使以色列人平安康泰。
Solomon means peace. The Hebrew word shalom, shalom means peace.
这是罗门王的意思，他的名字的意思是 shalom， 就是平安。
He built a house for my name.
他必为我的名建造殿宇。
Now he says in verse 11, My son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou.
第十一节，我儿啊，现今愿耶和华与你同在。
Apparently the Lord forgave David in verse 11.
上帝赦免了他。
David who had sinned against the Lord and numbered the people, God apparently forgave.
那个上帝赦免他，赎回那个百姓的。
Causing my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou. Build the house of the Lord thy God. The Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. That's what we need today, wisdom and understanding. It's not enough to know the facts and the truth, we must know how to use the facts and the truth. Wisdom is important and understanding as well. But thou must keep the law of the Lord thy God. There's two things you need to do to keep the law of the Lord. First, you must know the law of the Lord and the words of God. Second, you must keep the law of the Lord and the words of God. Not enough to know it. You can know it from cover to cover and still not keep it. You can show everybody how much you know about the scripture, quote this verse and that verse. And still, it's possible for you not to live that verse and that rule. You should live it. And that's what the prayer was that David be given wisdom and understanding to keep the law of the Lord thy God. In verse 13, the seer said, Then thou shalt prosper. Prosperity is related to keeping the law of the Lord, the words of God. I believe it's still meant, even today, if we ask for saving their events. Joshua 1:8, in 1:9 talks about prosperity.
在那个约书亚记第一章第八节跟第九节也是讲到。This
book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night.
你要做这些思想上帝的话，你们都要把上帝的律法。The
man keep the word of God. There thou shalt make thy way prosperous. There thou shalt have good success.
你如果不要去做，你去哪？
We were preaching a couple Sundays ago on prosperity of the soul in our church.
在分享说呢，在属灵方面啊，跟上帝的。The first
part of 3 John talks about prosperity, health, and the soul.
这个约翰三书开始的时候也讲到这三方面。And
John the apostle wrote to this church. And he said, I hope that your body may be kept in health and prosper, even as thy soul prospers.
In
other words, the same extent that your soul is prospering, I hope that you're in health and your body is prospering. If someone who has no prosperity of the soul, that means his body would be sick. And so that is a very wrong thing, or different thing, or difficult thing to see anybody in the days in which we live. I only want you to be in health for your body as much as your soul is in health and prosperous. Some people will be in good health. Most of us would be sick if the health of the body is exactly the same as the health of our souls. But David was told that keeping the law of the Lord in verse 12, then and only then shalt thou prosper. And then also in verse 13, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and the judgments which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Some of the evangelists on the radio and the television talk about prosper, prosper. Give me your money and God's going to prosper you. So give it to me. They don't say, I'll prosper a little too if you give me your money, but give me it and then God's promise to prosper you. Well, God's prosperity here is involved with the keeping of His words.
You're
walking with the Lord in the light of His words. Then in verse 13 he says, be strong and of good courage, dread not, or be dismayed. We have to be strong, we have to be of good courage. Many people are out to get us, perhaps. Many people wonder about our salvation, wonder about our Christ, our Savior. The strength is not in our physical being, but to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, as it says in Ephesians. And the strength is the Lord's good courage. Remember, before David was ever called of God to be a king, he was a shepherd. And he was a shepherd of good courage. When Samuel went out to seek the son of Jesse, they were 7 or so, and he was the youngest of the sons. And God selected David to be his king. And before he ever was the king as a shepherd, He is of great courage. He had the bear and the lion that attacked his flock, and the lion slew the lion and the bear.
And
when big Goliath went out to challenge the whole nation of Israel, David said, "Who is this man?" His oldest brother Eliab said, "What are you doing here? Why don't you go back with those few sheep?" And David told his older brother, "These are not a cause." There is a cause every single day that we must defend for our God. David with courage faced that giant Goliath. Saul, who was quivering in his boots, scared, afraid, yet head and shoulders above every man in Israel, big Saul with little courage. Little David with big courage. What a contrast. Saul had confidence only in his own strength and his own armor. So David says, "You have an armor, take mine." David cut out that armor and put it on, and the shield and put the sword and threw it away. David's confidence and courage was not in his armament. It was in the Lord. That's the difference. He went to the brook and took five smooth stones. Took a sling. Took faith in the Lord. And then the Goliath, the giant, made fun of David. He says, "I come unto thee in the name of the Lord, who thou hast defied." And took one stone, slung that thing, hit the giant on the side of the head by his helmet, and he fell. And he took the giant's own sword and slew him for this one. David was a man of courage, a young man of courage. You don't have to be old to have courage. In fact, some of the older people have little courage than the younger people. Courage is not measured by age. God can give you his courage in any age, whatever age you might be. So be strong in verse 10, 13, and be of good courage. God might be not dismayed. So he said to Solomon, "Prepare a house for the Lord," verse 14. He prepared gold and silver and brass and iron and stone, verse 14. He had the workmen in verse 15. And he said to Solomon, "Is not the Lord your God with you?" And then verse 19, David said to Solomon, Set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. That's what we must do as well. If we're saved and born again, set our hearts and our souls to seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. He that seeketh findeth, as the Lord said. The seeking is in the Bible, the words of God. It's not in the front of papers, it's not in the newspapers, it's not on the radio, not on the television. Seeking the Lord means going to his words, going to his book, and asking, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And there are two parts of us that must do the seeking. The heart and the soul. It's what for the head deceives the Lord. The brain, but brain without heart and soul is worthless for the Lord. It leads to pride. It leads to arrogance. It leads to being puffed up. But the heart and the soul to seek the Lord. Then on page 28, chapter 23, verse 1. Those old and full of days. We get that way after a while. Some of you haven't got that way yet. Three of us in the room have reached 80 years plus. Three of us. My wife, my friend Mrs. Crowder, and myself. David was old and full of days. In verse 1. And made Solomon his son king over Israel. Remember, the Chronicles doesn't tell us, but there's lots of fighting here. So who's going to be the king after
David?
If you read the book of Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings, you'll see that Adonijah wanted to be king, and other people wanted to be king, and a big battle. Who's going to be the king? And David had only seed. Bathsheba went to him and said, don't you know that Adonijah has raised himself up to be the king? David must have gone asleep or something. He didn't realize it. And he said immediately, no, Solomon is going to be the king. And so, as I said, he made Solomon the king by name. And then in verse 2, he gathered together the princes, the leaders of Israel. Notice the Levites were numbered from 30 years and upward.
Were
the Levites. And 24,000 were carried to the work of the house of the Lord. So all these workers in verse 4 and 5 and 6.
3, 4, 5, 6,
then we have the priests, we believe that the Gershonites in verse 7, sons of Kohath in verse 12, and sons of Merari in verse 3. Gershon, Kohath, Merari, the three sons of Levi. And they were there to help with the temple. Verse 27, the Levites were numbered 20 years old and upward to work. Verse 28, their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for his service. It's interesting that the Levites were to be helpers to the priests. They were not to be priests. They were like a secondary place. lots of times in churches, for example, there are pastors and there are assistant pastors. And sometimes the assistant pastors aspire to be the pastor. They cause great divisions in the church. They don't realize that they're assistants, they're not the pastor. So in some churches we have deacons, and sometimes the deacons want to be the pastor. Sometimes churches that have elders, the elders want to be the pastor. But there's a chain of command where the Aaronic priests are in charge and the Levites are to help them. And remember, Korah and his band tried to ascend above and be like Moses and Aaron. Korah and his band came to Moses and Aaron and said, "You take too much upon you. Why are you bigger than we are? We're just as good as you. Why can't we be priests and Levites like you people?" And God said, "All right, we're going to settle this thing. We take one from each of these tribes, 12 different tribes. Each of you take a dead stick. A rod, a stick. And bring it before the tabernacle. And the rod, the dead stick that brings forth buds and flowers, he's the one that chosen to be my priest and my leader." And Aaron's rod was the rod, the stick, the butter, brought forth buds and flowers. Miracle. You don't have buds out of a dead stick. But God can. God can do anything but fail. And so once and for all, God judged Korah. He judged his band. Instead of it's just an ordinary death, it's different, but it's going to be super ordinary. And the earth opened up, swallowed up these men, a miracle of God. And judged these men, the ones that sailed up above where God had appointed Aaron and the priests. We must always do things God's will, not our will. And so in verse 28 of this chapter, it is good, at the questions. Stop me anytime for questions, always.
Okay, first, here you said the Bible says 30 years and older and 20 years and older. What is the difference between the
Okay. I asked the same question to myself when I studied this chapter. I think the solution is this. I think the Levites from 30 years old and upward, but the workers here in this temple were from 20 years and up, a little bit younger, to work in the temple to help the building. Now that's the only solution I could come to. Seems like a contradiction. They will take their office. They will take their office at 30. But for the work here, they were still Levites. They were born Levites. But apparently, for the workers here to work in the temple, this kind of 20, 10 years earlier than the 30. I do my best.
24岁的时候，二十岁以外就要去帮忙。
Other questions or comments?
Okay, just yes, in the temple and from 20s other worlds.
Possibly so. A special building of this particular building. That's my yes, we have one. Oh, yes, yes.
我想请问一下，就是刚刚他雅思学者他是亚伦的那个丈夫撒勒，我还听不懂。对，阿斯亚巴德，对吗？对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对
要做那个祭司。
You see, Jacob had 12 sons.
因为雅各有十二个儿子。
And some of the sons said, why can't I be the priest?
要想做祭司。
Why can't I be like Moses and Aaron?
为什么我不能像亚伯摩西一样的？
They're just as good as you. Why are you taking this? They're angry with the Lord. So the Lord said, I'm going to show you a lesson. I'm going to pick the priest by a special miracle. So you can see that miracle, and then you'll know.But I'm going to be deciding who is the priest and who is not the priest. It must be Aaron's line, Aaron's sons, and Aaron's son. So it was a very good object lesson. So there were 12 sons of Jacob, and each one of them had a stick, a rod, or,and for Levi, it was Aaron, because he was representative of the tribe of Levi, so he had his rod, and put him over before the Lord, and the Lord they all labeled themselves, this is Asher, and this is Gad, and this is Joseph, and so on. And this is Aaron, they labeled the rods, I'm sure, so they could tell which is what, they put him on the top of the tabernacle.And God said, the rod that buds, brings forth flowers and buds, that will be the one I've chosen. And I don't want any of your other children, any of your other sons, to argue any more about this thing. That's final. And so that's what.God did. Aaron was the rod that budded, that's what blossoms. All the other rods, the 11 other rods, are sticks. That is everything. No change. Other comments, of course. Yes, ma'am.
Earlier, I think in one of the chapters, David was punished severely by God because he numbered his people.
Yes.
Now, over here,好像耶和华并没有不喜悦他，所以换句话说，数点这个事情本身没有错，好像没有错，是不是？
So the question was, why did God number the Levites? No punishment for numbering the Levites.
Yeah.
The difference is, the Levites never fought. The Levites never had any battles. They just praised the Lord and read the scriptures, never fought. These other men did fight, and they were warriors. They wanted to see his confidence in how many warriors battles and soldiers.
大卫十点被他的动机是看他的那个军事的那个势力。
So remember the Levites, no problem. We're not trying to exalt as battle people because they weren't battle warriors. They're just singers and servants. So I did not answer. Other questions or comments?
Can you give me the Bible passage of where the people rebelled against Moses and like Aaron?
Cause rebellion. Think it's in Numbers. My computer on, or I could look it up immediately. Maybe it's in chapter 16. There it is. Yes, 16. Just happened upon it. Well, thank you, Lord. And chapter 16 and verse 19. Paul gathered all the congregation against them under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Got it? Chapter 16 of Numbers and verse number 19. The glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And then in verse 20, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among the congregation that I may consume them in a moment.
But this Korah is not the son of Levi.
Now this is a different one. In verse 1, the Korah, the son of Imer, son of Korah, the son of Levi. He was the son of Levi, yes he was. Let's have 10 minutes and we'll pick this up as we come back for our final hour this time. This afternoon. Final hour. Take 10 minutes. Okay.